What went he out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went he out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went he out for to see? A prophet? I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. We're in the middle of Advent. Of course, we remember the four things, the four last things that we consider in Advent. Well, first of all, we consider, first of all, that we're expecting the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ at Christmas in the liturgy. We also look for him at his second coming. And that leads into the four last things. Death, judgment, heaven, or hell. A reading from William Temple, readings in St. John's Gospel, the forerunner. For appreciation of the Word made flesh, it is important to recognize the witness of this last and greatest of the prophets, to whom the word of the Lord came. That witness is constant. Though in a certain sense, John was the pioneer and Jesus took up his message of repentance because the kingdom was at hand. Yet John the forerunner always spoke of him who should fall as greater than himself. For that witness he existed. John says, never mind who I am. Listen to what I say. John is here the type of all Christian witness. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. If ever our witness begins to be ourselves or to make ourselves very prominent, something is going wrong with it. We may mention our own experience. Oh, come hither and hearken all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he hath done for my soul. But only as a means of pointing men to Christ. It is not ourselves but our witness to him for which we want to claim attention. Never mind who or what I am, but do listen when I speak to you of Christ. That should be true of all of us, even at the altar. When I was trained to be an acolyte, don't bring attention to yourself. Bring attention to what's being done at the altar. I've heard it referred to as, not in the modern sense, but in the true traditional sense, a liturgical dance, that beautiful poetry of motion for the Lord that's dignified, reverent, and lovely. And that the priest, and especially the acolyte, almost disappeared because of the beauty of what is being portrayed here. So that's, he's saying that, John Baptist is saying that to us. Don't mind me, mind what I say. The hymn that we just sang really touched me again this morning. This is going off track here, and I hope you don't mind. But we are in the last days. They were in the last days when Jesus first ascended. But we have to be ready. Again, the theme, death, judgment, heaven, or hell. We have to be mindful of that every day of our life. It may happen before I finish this sermon. It may not happen for 500,000 years. We have to be ready. And I don't know if we... I have to tell myself that a lot of times. You know, things seem to be going... I mean, the world's going crazy, but, you know, I'm all secure. Everything's going right for me. But, you know, that could all change in an instant. Sudden occurrence like this awful thing that happened in Kentucky, Missouri, and Illinois. We have to be ready. And I'm going to quote from this hymn that we just sang. Then cleanse be every breast from sin. Make straight the way of God within. Let each heart prepare a home for such a mighty guest may come. Advent is a season of preparation. Our mighty guest, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to us at Christmas, in history, and in fact. And also, in fact, he will come again. For thou art our salvation, Lord, our refuge, and our great reward. Without thy grace, we waste away like flowers that wither and decay. He is our refuge, our great reward. There is none else. There is no name under heaven given by which we must say, be saved, but by Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus only. Again, pointing to us, to heal the sick, stretch out thine hand, and bid the fallen sinners stand. Shine forth and let thy light restore earth's own true loveliness once more. You see what's scourging the earth, pandemic and everything else. But worse than that is the wanton sin that goes throughout. I mean, people going into schools, shooting willy-nilly at everybody they see. Cars crashing through a mall. People being butchered because they named Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's an evil world. And God is the one and only remedy. Death, judgment, heaven or hell. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. In Baptist circles, they always talk about, I think you can relate to this. Do you have altar call? Well, yes, indeed, we have altar call every single Sunday. Jesus tells us to come and dine on his very body and blood. Yes, we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Make an initial commitment and confirmation, but do so every time we receive him in the Eucharist. We do so every time we pray. We do so every time we read his word and believe it and heed what it says. Christmas is coming. Let's be prepared. Let's use the remainder of what remains of Advent for that time of preparation, that increasing light of the Advent candle. It started out with one light. Now we have three lights. This Sunday is known as Gaudete Sunday. We're in the middle of Advent, and yet that light is increasing. So that's why in Detroit, rejoice, rejoice. And Gaudete means rejoice. It doesn't mean just gaudy colors such as this. It means, the word gaudy, as a matter of fact, comes from Gaudete. But let us really prepare for Christmas. In this evil world, things happen at Christmas time and all other times of year. It's more poignant at Christmas. Without much ado, I will say that I lost my own mother on Christmas Day. But I realized then the Christmas message. That's why we have green and red. Christmas is a liturgical roller coaster, because immediately what we have red because of his blood that would be shed for us. The green of his purity and the promise of eternal life. So Christmas is joyous, and yet it points us to that road that he'll take as he grows up as an obedient child, as he goes on his ministry, and then as he lays down his life for us, and then at Easter he rises for us and is ascended in heaven, waiting to receive us. And while he's waiting to receive us, he's pleading for us as we sin. So let us, again, prepare for Christmas. Contemplate and think of the mystery of Christmas and our part in it, the purpose of it, and how we can be more pleasing to him as we rejoice. We sing, O come, all ye faithful, for the Lord is come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.